Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today in the cozy confines of Studio B is James Montemagno.
Hey, how's it going?
It's excellent. How are you?
Oh my goodness, it's so good to be back.
Ninth time.
And what's interesting is it's been over 2 years since the original Toolbox
I did.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
It was 2014, February or March or something like that, I think. And we were not in the cozy confines. It's the first time in the cozy confines.
Yes.
Yeah, for me. Yeah, it's lovely. It's real nice to cuddle up.
They put me in here quite often.
Yeah. shove Roe Green over here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's super exciting to be back. And what's interesting is that when we had kind of talked last time, just recently, about kind of Xamarin, obviously a lot has changed, a lot has happened. And I went back and watched the episode from 2.5 years ago. Some things are the same, some things are very different. So I'm super excited that you asked me back on.
Yeah, well, you would hope in 2 years there'd be advances. You got the Xamarin guys it's amazing how often new updates are coming out and how many new features are adding.
Yeah, all the time. Our team is amazing at keeping up with all the updates. Yeah.
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 All right. So for those who haven't been paying attention, which is probably not many people, Xamarin and Microsoft are on the way to becoming one. I don't think has it officially happened?
Yeah, it's good to go.
Okay, good,
it's good to go. I mean, I have a badge.
You have a badge? You guys have aliases?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like July-ish something, like official. It's official, but it's set in between ground. But as far as everyone watching, it doesn't really matter what my employment's about.
Basically,
it's all about
now a feature of Visual Studio.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
I think, you know, we had some big conferences, right? Mm-hmm. We had Build, we had Evolve.
Yep.
So the acquisition got done right around the Build time frame officially. There's like integrations and stuff. But on stage was Miguel and Scott Guthrie.
Yeah.
We announced that Xamarin platform, so building iOS, Android, and Windows apps and Mac apps, is included in Visual Studio for free, including the Community Edition.
Right.
So I think that's
very
huge.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, we've always had this like weird free tier, the Starter Edition, which we had talked about a lot. Starter Edition's gone. It's just in the Community Edition. There's no real restrictions at all, so unlimited app size, you get Xamarin Forms, you get everything you want. But if you have other tiers of MSDN or Visual Studio tiers, if you will, then there's some extra bonus enterprise type features. But as far as building applications, you're totally good. You just you can ship them to the store, no cost, anything like that. So if you're an indie dev, small startup, small 1-2 developer shop, you're good to go start building apps in C# with Xamarin.
We heard nothing but excitement about that. Everybody happy. The only negative I heard in this entire thing was that you, me, and Nick Landry were going to do an episode on top 10 things you could do with the indie edition.
Yeah. Right?
So we were going to, or to see how far you could get with the starter or indie edition before you had to move up to the business edition, and this announcement rendered that moot.
But so now you can do everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good news is you could do everything.
Yeah.
But that would have been fun to try.
Yeah.
But it's moot. So.
Yeah, it's me. It's great. Yeah. I think this is great for developers because now when you install Xamarin in Visual Studio and it's part of the installation process of 2015, you don't have to think about it.
Right.
You just start building, grabbing NuGets, grabbing components. You're good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to make this a get started. What do you need to install? What do you need to set up? How do you build your first app?
Yeah.
Right? It's basically now that I can do it for free.
For free. How do I do it?
More easily. What exactly do I do?
And I think this is a great time, too, because I literally just got this brand new Surface Book.
Oh, look at that.
It's beautiful. It's quite lovely. And I think this is a great time because I went through a clean install fresh. I wrote a whole blog post about what I needed to do to get things running right here on the Surface Book. So if you have a PC, a tower, or a laptop, this is good. But I wanted to take just a few minutes to go over for anyone brand new, like what the heck is Xamarin, right?
Sure.
People think like, what is a Xamarin platform? So I have a few slides, but then we're really doing a lot of code today, really looking at the desktop.
You and your
Roe Green hates slides.
Robert
hates slides, but I love them. just a few. All right, so there's me.
But I never say no.
You never say no. Now we do go through and remove a bunch, but I went through ahead of time, I had like 10 slides.
Okay.
All right, so when you think of cross-platform mobile development, you either think of building apps three times in three different languages, kind of a silo approach, Objective-C, Java, or C#. And then you think, well, maybe, you know, I do write once, run everywhere, shove a bunch of HTML and JavaScript. And if we look at how Xamarin works, so if we flip over here to the slides, we have this unique approach. This is the same approach I talked about before when we were on the shared C# business logic backend of our mobile app. So build one backend common code base, models, view models, RESTful service calls, Azure calls, SQL databases, things like that. Then you can build a great iOS, Android, and Windows user interface, access all the APIs in VS. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, how that works, essentially, is you got on Windows the .NET runtime, .NET framework, everything that we know and love as C# .NET developers. You want to go to a platform, UWP, ASP.NET, you download an SDK, boom. You get some great namespaces to integrate with that hardware. Think of it exactly the same for iOS and Android. Right? You get all that .NET mm-hmm. goodness on the bottom. That's your shared code base, because we are running the Mono runtime. The original, the Mono framework and Mono runtime is our original open source implementation of .NET. It's completely open source. Everything that we've done, it's embeddable, it's everything like that. But we create C# bindings and wrappers around every single iOS and, of course, Android namespace and API. So if there's something you want to do, you can do it. And I think that's what's important, is that if you want to do it, you're able to, and we add C# features like async await, lambdas, events.
So what version of .NET is it equivalent to? What version of C# do you get? Because I know mm-hmm. that potentially with other places using the Mono runtime, you're not necessarily on the latest and greatest version. So how does that play out?
Yeah, so if you kind of think about, Miguel was talking a lot about how .NET standard is going to go on the Mono subset of the APIs, that you essentially get almost all of .NET 4.5 that's available. There's one or two restrictions on iOS, just because how iOS works, like as dynamic emitting of code. You can't do that. You can't JIT or anything like that on iOS. It's all ahead of time compiled. But you get essentially all of .NET 4.5 that's available to you.
Okay.
And you even get some other things, such as WCF libraries that we've created in this, which is really nice. And it's all C# 6.
Cool.
So in either IDE, no matter what you're using, you're basically good to go on all of those great C# 6 features. When C# 7 comes over, everything's Roslyn powered.
Okay.
Even our Xamarin Studio on the Mac is Roslyn powered now.
So that's recent, right? The Xamarin Studio being Roslyn powered, that was just introduced in Xamarin 6, is that correct?
Yeah, which just came out officially yesterday in stable. So
cool.
At .NET Conference, I should say, so for time, because this will come out a few days later, but for right around .NET Conference, so beginning of June 2016, Xamarin Studio, same Roslyn powered, everything like that. So you get this very rich experience when developing. But I think that's what's really cool, is that you're getting all this good stuff. All right, I got a few more slides, ready?
Okay.
Great native performance. We talked about kind of how we compile. We don't cross-compile. We have an advanced linker. So even though we say that we have the Mono runtime, you're not putting all of the Mono and .NET framework in an iOS or Android app. That would be big. So we strip out anything you're not using. So we do a full ahead-of-time compilation, advanced linking, advanced compilation. You get a native ARM binary. On Android, we have advanced JIT compilation that we can run the Mono runtime side-by-side, the Dalvik or ART runtime, which is the Android runtime. But like to us as developers, we don't, you know, we just want our app to be great and performant,
right.
And so do our users, and that's what we get. Two great IDEs, Visual Studio, 2012, 2013, 2015. Highly, 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 highly recommend 2015. It's quite lovely because you get all that C# 6 goodness. It's free, community edition, right? Xamarin Studio, there's a new community edition available. Mm-hmm. And then there's like if you link your MSDN and your Visual Studio over, it'll upgrade to the different tier that you have.
There's a community edition that implies that there are paid editions above community.
So think of when you buy Visual Studio or MSDN, Xamarin Studio is included in that tier. So think of Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio as the same. So if you have community edition of Visual Studio, you have community edition of Xamarin Studio. If you have pro version of Visual Studio, you have pro version of Xamarin Studio.
What if I'm on the Mac or I'm not using Visual Studio, I just want Xamarin Studio?
The same tiered structure.
Okay.
Yeah, so, as far as I know.
All right.
Yeah, so you still have to buy like the Visual Studio.
Got
thing.
It. Okay.
Yeah, when you go to store.xamarin.com, it explains all the salesy type stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, but you have the free community edition too. So if you're just an indie dev, just on only a Mac, you're good. Cool. It's included. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's open source.
Yep.
Everything, this is really cool. So everything we're talking about, iOS, Android, our components, our plugins, our Mono is open source. And that's cool because you could take that embedded in a game framework. And in fact, Unity on their blog when we announced all this said that they were going to be upgrading their mono to our mono.
Good.
I don't know when that's going to happen. And here's how you get started. You install Visual Studio. You click Custom.
Yeah.
You click .NET, C#, Xamarin, cross-platform. Yep. This installs everything that you need to get started. So it includes the Android SDK. It includes the Visual Studio Android emulators, which are Hyper-V enabled.
Yep.
It includes all of the Xamarin tooling and everything you need to get started. Now, if you don't have, if you already installed Visual Studio and you're like, oh man, I need to install Xamarin, you could go through the Change Visual Studio, add an option, or go to xamarin.com/download.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have our own installer that'll handle everything for you. Either way, you're good to go. And the same thing if you're on a Mac, you go to xamarin.com/download and it'll download all the bits over there. So the last thing I want to talk about, something that we announced.
This is exciting.
We're going to show off. And this is in preview, but in the stable channel. So if you have the stable just build, we have stable, beta, and alpha channels of Xamarin, you could just install this preview. It works great, so it's not going to touch any of your installs. It's a separate install. You can now, from Visual Studio, say debug, and the iOS simulator, that we created a remoting iOS simulator built for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never have to leave your PC. You can do everything that you can do on the simulator. It's a real simulator, but running over on here. Now, there's some caveats, and I'm sure, Robert, you're like, all right, does this mean I can just get rid of my Mac?
No, it does not. You still need the Mac to compile.
You still need the Mac to compile, to design, and to
but
run the simulator.
But what you don't have to do is be on Visual Studio building and then slide over to the Mac and the monitor to see it working and then slide back over. Or, let's say you're sharing a Mac with buddies down the hall. How do you see what's going on it?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
This is nice.
This is very cool.
This is very cool, and it's super fast. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's like one-to-one, and what's great, we'll just show it when we build some apps. So the touch screen, all this stuff, it's good stuff. So let's just build some stuff. Let's look at this puppy. So all I've done is I've installed Visual Studio 2015. Other turn, I've installed Xamarin. All right, now, I want to make sure people know if you've already set up Xamarin a few ways. You want to make sure that you have the Android emulator set up correctly. So what I do here is I tap on the start, and I just type Visual. Where's my thing at? Oh, Cortana's listening now. There we go. Visual Studio Android. And you'll see this, Visual Studio Emulator for Android.
Mm-hmm.
By default, Xamarin's going to install some Google emulators, which are slower ARM-based emulators. Microsoft's created the Visual Studio emulator for Android, which are based on Hyper-V. It's essentially the Windows Phone emulator, but super fast, because it's built for Android on Hyper-V. So we're going to click Launch, and we're going to start up this Marshmallow emulator here. And that's the very first thing you want to do, or else you're going to kind of get a slow Android experience. This will take a few seconds.
I've also found that on my Surface Pro, which is, I love the machine, but it's only got 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
And so occasionally, if I have, what I will find sometimes is that Visual Studio is open and I've got a solution, and then I go to deploy to the emulator. The emulator doesn't have enough memory to start, whereas if I close Visual Studio, start the emulator first, then open Visual Studio, everything works fine.
Yeah. And you can do a few things. So here, for instance, these are all what I'm scrolling through are all the different images over here. So if you actually drop down on some of these, you'll see how much RAM they have. What I've done is I've toggled this here. I have this Marshmallow one, and it's a XHDPI.
Mm-hmm.
So if I take a magnifier here and zoom in, we can see that this is XHDPI. So it's a lower resolution.
Okay.
It's a 720 by 1280, 5-inch, but only needs 1 gig of RAM.
That's a good tip.
Even this one here, the KitKat is a little bit lower too. That one needs 2 gigs of RAM, so I don't do that one.
Right.
So what I do is I look through and anything for the lower XHDPI.
Yeah. So if you're just looking to see that the app works and you're not into design and at that point yet in your application, you just want to make sure it works. That's a nice tip that you just choose one with lower RAM if you're having.
Yeah, and I always do this because 1 gig of RAM, I mean, it's crazy fast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, It's super nice. Most phones only have 1 or 2 gigs of RAM anyways.
Right.
All right, so let's create our first project. All right, I'm going to show you walking through and deploying an application. And let's look at the templates first. So we have some Android templates. We have some iOS templates. And inside of here, let me zoom in here. I've been using this magnifier a lot. I don't know why I love it. And inside of iOS, these are your iOS-specific projects. Mm-hmm. So if you don't see this stuff, that means you don't have Xamarin installed.
Right.
That's a problem. So we have iPad, iPhone, Apple Watch in there, and then you have cross-platform. This cross-platform here is kind of like your native application. If you want to use a shared project or a portable class library, you want to do that. I like portable class libraries. And then you have Xamarin Forms, which is our cross-platform UI framework, and that'll set that up. So what I want to do is I'm going to create just an Android and then an iOS and build a shared code base kind of separately, one at a time, and we'll launch them. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a single, just a blank app here, and I'm going to say VS Toolbox. There we go. So we'll just start with an Android. We'll add some shared code. So I want to kind of walk through what do you need to get started, right? And while that's loading up, if you haven't installed the emulators, there's just a page here.
Mm-hmm.
When you just Google or Bing Visual Studio emulator for Android, you'll get to this page, you hit download, and you're good.
Right.
Okay. So for Android development, now you don't need a Mac. Right. For Android development.
You don't even need an Android.
You don't need an Android device. You have everything right here. Mm-hmm. There's some really good cheap $20, $30 Android devices you can buy if you want to test on a device, but here, I'm just 100% on a PC, nothing else to buy. So here's, let me walk through the structure here. We have an Android project. I'm going to zoom in. We have an Android project. It's very similar. We have properties. This Android manifest is kind of where we describe all of our permissions that we need in our app. We have references. So here we have system, core, XML. If I right-click, say add references, I come over here. So load up all the references that I need. And I could come down and say, well, here's I need system.net. There's HTTP web requests, numerics. Mm-hmm. These are all the different, this is the mono runtime stuff, right?
Right.
All right here. So let's add HTTP, for instance. And then it shows up. The core here is that I have this mono.android that's here. And that's all my Android namespaces.
Yep.
All right. So if I was just to run this, we could come up here. And it's set to the startup. And what we're going to see is that we have some dropdowns. And we have the different emulators that I have installed. So I'm literally just going to say, start debugging. Like if you were just, I want to see what it looks like out of the box. And I think that this one here, if we go into our resources, main layouts, we'll have an Android main layout here. So here we go. It's going to launch. It's actually super quick. There we go. So we literally have a button that says, click me.
Okay.
We've seen that 1,000 times. So now it's in debug mode. And boom, like I'm running my first app.
There we go.
In C Sharp. If we look at the code behind for this application, we can look at this main activity file. And this is my code behind. Essentially, it's kind of the life cycle for this application. We have these attributes describing that this is the startup application. We have a button that we find. And whenever we click it, we just update with this here.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice. I could, of course, remove this. So this I think the string format is kind of gross. So of course we could do this, right? We could just do that. Take this, put this in here. Good now. There we go. Much better.
Yes.
Much better. So then CSharp 6. But let's build a little bit of backend, and then we'll update this application to call that code, and then we'll add the iOS project. So sometimes developers don't start with that cross-platform template. They'll just go like, oh, I want to just mess around with Android. So you're like, oh, I want to go do something, and I don't want an opinionated template. Sometimes that's what a lot of developers think when you're used to, like me, I remember when I was starting Windows Phone development, I would be like, oh, there's all these view models and all this stuff and all this bindings all set up, and I go to delete stuff. Our templates are pretty minimal. So you get started, you have a button click, right? If you do cross-platform, that's going to create an iOS, Android, portable class library, and a flavor of Windows.
Yeah.
A flavor, like maybe Win8 or UWP, and we're updating those templates over time. A lot of developers may just be messing around. So I wanted to be like, I'm starting with this project and adding to it.
Okay.
Because that's how I got started 5 years ago. I just was like, oh, let me mess around with an Android project. And you're like, OK, cool. Now I want to add iOS and C. But how do I share code?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we don't talk about sometimes.
I think it's good to, if you just started, you may not have the Mac.
Yeah, you may not have the Mac.
If you create the project that has the Mac, then you get asked Where's your Mac?
Where's your Mac? Yeah.
If you don't have a Mac yet, then you're being asked questions for, you know, I don't have an answer to that yet. I don't have a Mac yet.
What do I do?
Right. Is it going to build? What do I do? Right. So if you're just starting out, creating the Android app as, and then, you know, that's a great place to start. Then you can add the Windows app.
Exactly.
Next, and then when you get into iOS development, then you go get yourself a Mac.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
As long as you're
a great approach.
Building that shared code backend, then you can leverage it. So, like, I'm going to start on Android, put all this code in a shared project.
Because there's no Android device right now, and ran an application.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you wanted to, you could go ahead and slap one in your Surface, your Android device, and debug it just like you would expect. You don't need one.
Right.
Cool. Let's head back. So I'm going to say add new project. And under Visual C Sharp here, I'm just going to say portable. And there we go. We're going to create a portable class library. It says it right here for iOS, Android, and Windows. It's kind of nice. And we're going to call this vstoolbox.portable. Click OK. Now, what this has done is it's created a kind of subset of .NET that's available on different platforms. What I like to do first is go into the properties of that project and see what it's targeted. And we can see here that it's actually targeted Windows 8, including Windows 8, 8.1, Windows 10. We didn't check Silverlight or Windows Phone Silverlight, but RT, and that's fine. If I wanted an RT, I could do that if I wanted to. Or else I could say, you know what, I'm just going to target Windows UWP, iOS Android, .NET, and ASP.NET Core. I'll click OK on there. And now this will kind of expand my subset. Because
is there a reason to leave ASP.NET Core in there?
So here's what's cool about this. So if you uncheck that, it's like, hey, we're going to add it automatically for you, and you have no choice.
All right, then.
Yeah. So like, it kind of knows that what profile it's in.
Okay.
And it's like, hey, if you remove this, you're not gaining anything, so I'm just going to include it for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So there we go. I've gone ahead and done that. And now what we want to do is come in here, and you can right-click on the .NET or double-click on it, and you can see what's included in that. Let's see, Visual Studio will open it up for me here. Maybe. Uh-oh. There we go. Stinking. So I think if you double-click on it, you can see the accessibility, and you could go through and see what's all included in it, and somewhere in here. In the object browser, we have almost all the .NET stuff available. So let's build something. Let's take this class one and let's obviously rename it. I think you can actually rename it from here, right? Rename, say.
Does that rename the file too?
I think it does. Let's try it. Let's call it Monkey View Model. No, it doesn't. I think if you rename this.
If you rename there, it renames the class name, but I didn't think of renaming the class name changed the file.
Yeah, it should. That's feature for 15. All right, cool.
It should ask you if you want.
It should ask you.
Yeah.
There's probably some hotkey that I'm missing. So here's what I want to do is I want to go. I have this JSON file on my personal website. It's a bunch of monkeys, because why wouldn't you have a bunch of monkeys? And here's the JSON. And I want to show just kind of how I would get started. And what I've done here is I've taken that JSON.
That right there, JSON to C-sharp. And you can also do it from inside Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Take JSON and generate C-sharp classes. This is my number one tip.
Let's do it.
From, where are we? From the last year.
The last year.
Easily, yeah.
So let's do it. I'm going to say edit, and then I'm going to say paste special JSON as classes. Boom. There we go. And now I go ahead and delete some stuff here.
Because you've got JSON, and it's got it doesn't necessarily have the fully structured hierarchy that you're thinking it does.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, well, how do I work with this?
Mm-hmm.
You do that, slap it in there, and now you have classes that you're used to that are mapped exactly to that JSON.
Exactly.
It's cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you don't, I mean, you're calling a service, potentially, right? I think I may have seen you do that first in the open weather .org API, which I've used a couple times in building sample apps. And their data is pretty complex.
Yeah, it's a lot of
things. And I don't want to have to sit there and look at their JSON and figure out how would I make classes out of this.
Exactly.
You just do this little thing and you get your classes.
And you're
then,
good.
Then you can tweak as needed.
Exactly.
It's very cool.
So here's what we're going to do is I'm going to create I'm just going to say, you know, this is just going to be a public monkey. I'm just going to do getter and setter here, and we're going to call it monkey. And what we're going to do is we're just going to really quickly create a public async task, and we'll say a bool. We'll say get monkey async. There we go. And here's what we want to do. We're going to go ahead and quick action this thing and use our task. So we're just going to be an operation on the background task, right? So we're going to go out and we're going to say using var client equals new HTTP client. There we go. And if I'm a good developer, I'm going to go ahead and put this in a try catch. And of course, do nothing. Perfect. And return false. Why not? And we'll return true. All right, so of course it's mad at me. And we'll go ahead and quick action. Oops. Quick action it. So we're using HTTP client. Mm-hmm. Right? This is kind of cool because I've not left .NET. This is purely right. In my shared code. And we have some .NET here. Here's what I want to do. So I'm going to say var JSON equals await client dot get string async. And I'm going to say my website. So my website here, this monkey JSON. It's convenient to have some monkey JSON sitting around. Mm-hmm. Why not? And then we want to use JSON.net to deserialize this JSON. So I'm going to go into my NuGet package manager. We're going to go to browse. And of course, it's going to be the first one with all the downloads.
Very popular.
Very popular. And I'm going to say install. And it's going to install in our iOS and or our Android and our portable class library. So now I could access JSON.net from literally anywhere. If I wanted mm-hmm. to do it inside of my Android application, I could, because I have it available. It's just .NET code. So we can say using Newtonsoft.json, just like you would, and come down here and say var monkeys equals JSON convert dot deserialize object. This is going to be a list of said monkey, and we'll pass it the JSON. One call to do that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say monkey equals monkeys dot first or default. That's it. So I just want to get the first monkey out of the list just for fun. Now, this first or default is a link query. So it's a link. So it's going to say, is there monkey in the list or else return null.
Right.
Okay. So just kind of know that that could be a possibility that this monkey could be null when this returns true, or if it returns true. And I could do something here. I could say, you know, if monkey equals equals null, return false. There we go. Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go and update our Android project here. Now we could come now into our Android project. We're going to add a reference, and I'm going to go into my projects and add that shared code. Boom. Shared code. Got it. I can come back into my Android application, and let's go ahead and add a label. So I'm going to go to my toolbox, my Visual Studio toolbox. And these are all the Android widgets. So let's add some text. I'm going to slap down some text here, large text. So now when I click that button, I want to update that with the first monkey maybe that I have. All right?
Good.
So what this is doing behind the scenes is it's generating some Android XML for me. So I have some text, and we can see that the ID is TextView1, and it has a large appearance here. So that's just all I've done. And I'm going to come back to the Android project and say main activity. And let's go ahead and drop this down. And we're no longer going to do that. But let's find our label equals find view by ID. And it's a text view. And I'm going to say resource.id.textview1. Because it matches the IDs. We automatically mm-hmm. generate the C# equivalent here for you. So now what I could do is, I don't like this delegate, but I know I want to make this an async sender args there. Make this little lambda. It's so much prettier. So this button click, I've asyncified it, which means I can call some stuff inside of it. So now I could say button.enabled equals false. I'm going to do some stuff and then enable it when I'm done. So that way mm-hmm. I don't click it all the time. Now what I want to do here is say await. And we got to create that view model. So let's go ahead and say monkey view model. We'll say view model. There we go. Again, bring in that namespace from our shared code. And up here, I'll say view model equals new monkey view model. And now I'm going to go ahead and say await view model dot get monkey async. There we go. Yep. Now we could check true or false, doesn't really matter. Because what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say label.text, and we'll say if the view model.monkey dot name. Let's do a bunch of null operators, and we'll say no monkey. There we go. So I've used some C# 6 features to say if the view model's null, or if the monkey's null, or if the name is null, if any of this is null, return no monkey, else just return the name.
Okay.
Cool. Doesn't seem so hard. Just a little bit of drag and drop some controls. I'm going to go ahead and redeploy. And here's what we can do. We can add a breakpoint here. This is what's cool. So I've literally gone in, just added a few things in here, added a breakpoint. This is going to recompile all my code and then pump it up.
All right.
Does it seem hard? Does it seem complex? It's just some C# .NET code, right?
No, that's the cool thing about it is it's just C#.NET code.
Exactly.
And it's running on an Android device.
It's running on an Android device.
It can also run on the iOS.
Exactly.
And then, of course, there's... So from that level, that's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's things you got to learn. You can't just say this
dot whatever
label, all right? Yeah. So it's a little bit different. You had to use that funky find view by ID stuff. And then, of course, you have to learn about, you know, how to lay out your pages and whatnot on the Android or on the iOS. So but the shared logic is just essentially 100% code that you're absolutely used to.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So let's see this. I got this. I can go ahead and hit get the hello world, click me. I'm going to click it. So now we've gone out, got our monkey, and then we can actually go through this. And we could see that, hopefully, we go and add another breakpoint here, continue on. Our label is baboon. So it's gone off, gotten it for me. I could go into my code and grab it. I'm going to go re-enable it. And now we have it right there. Very cool. So let's talk about what else you need to know for Android before we move on to iOS and build this out in iOS in like 2 or 3 minutes. So up top here, again, when this is installed, we've also added some widgets up here into your toolbar. So up here, I'm going to move this guy over a little bit. There we go. Up here, we have a Android emulator manager. And these are the ones that Google ships.
Okay.
I usually never go into there because I'm using the Visual Studio ones. This one's really important.
There's also was also a Xamarin emulator, wasn't there?
So that one's on the Mac still, but we shipped some new stuff on the Mac to use the brand new Google x86 ones, and just use the Visual Studio ones because they're Hyper-V enabled.
Okay.
That's the go-to. These are the only ones that you need to care about.
Got it.
Yeah, essentially with the new updates and everything like that, this is the go-to. Yeah, I wouldn't even worry about it anymore. Here's going to be the SDK manager. So if a new versions of Android come out, you click on that and update stuff and read our blog and we'll tell you how to do that.
Okay.
There's a command prompt, so maybe you need to go in the command prompt and do some things. There's device logging and then also this device monitor. So if you want to do some profiling of your application and get to the logs, it's right there. Mm-hmm. Now, to be honest, like that's all I did. Like I didn't install anything else. So we're talking about getting started. Right. Android's really just done. Now, iOS, we want to build this out on iOS. So we'll add a new project. And I'm going to go into iOS. And I'm just going to do an iPhone app and a single view app. And we'll call this vstoolbox.ios. Now, when we talk about getting started.
So tip, I had done this. I named my Android, my iOS project, vstoolbox.ios. .UWP or Windows, and then vstoolbox.android, and then the vstoolbox.android massively conflicts with Android.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's why you'll see people call it .droid or something else. Don't call it .android.
Now, my recommended tip here is that you could then, you can come back and you can rename your project, but your assembly name and namespace is what's getcha.
Right, so you could come back after the fact. Yeah. And call it .android. Yeah.
Now, notice what I've done is I right-clicked on the Android properties, and I get a bunch of Android stuff. So these are the Android application settings, my permission settings. We've really integrated this into Visual Studio. But yeah, don't name it that. Don't name it .android. It'll get very confused. All right, so iOS, what do I need to get set up? Let's switch back and take a look at my setup here.
Okay.
iOS is a little bit more complex. If I just wanted to write some code here, I could still write code and compile my code.
Right.
I can't compile the app. right. without a Mac somewhere on my network or somewhere in a cloud. There's a lot of services like Mac and Cloud or Mac Stadium mm-hmm. that you can rent a Mac. I usually recommend maybe like a Mac Mini, which is
yep,
a few hundred
what
bucks.
I have. It's not exactly zippy fast, but it was a few hundred bucks.
A few hundred bucks. Right now, I have this old 2013, you can see all my stickers, my mm-hmm. main developer one. This literally is going to sit off to the side, so no smoke and mirrors here. This is sitting here. We're on the same network. Right?
That'd be another option, is to go buy a previously owned older version.
Older one.
Yep.
I'm going to be upgrading this to a MacBook, which is the cheapest Mac that you could possibly buy in laptop form, in rose gold. I'm very excited. That's the new upgrade. And that is like a 1.2 or 1.4 gigahertz processor. Mm-hmm. I did all of my original iOS development 5 years ago on a MacBook Air with 4 gigs of RAM. Doesn't need to be super powerful. But just make sure it can run the latest version of OS X or Mac OS, whatever they rename it, coming up. So cool, that's going to sit there. And this is going to talk remotely.
Yep.
Now, really, when you think about setup here, let's take a look at our Visual Studio instance. All I've done is I've gone in, and if we magnify just a little bit more here, we can see that we now have iOS toolbars here. This one here is mostly important. This is if I'm connected to my Mac. If I tap on that, we can see all of my different Macs that I have. If you're on your network, like at home, it usually auto-detects it. I'm here on the Microsoft thing, and I just type in
this
an
Mac
IP.
Mac Asia was my favorite feature from Xamarin 4.
Yeah.
Because it made it dramatically better to connect to the Mac.
Yeah, and all I did was I installed Xamarin on a Mac. You got to do that.
Yep.
So my setup is I've installed Xamarin on a Mac and Xcode. That's the one that you have to download it because Apple doesn't. So over on the Mac, so over here, right, I've installed Xamarin and Xcode.
Yep.
Launch Xcode just to make sure, and I could, that's where all my provisioning profiles are. And it's just an Apple restriction as far as you got to do it.
Do have to make sure that you keep the Mac and the PC in sync.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So if there's a new version of Xamarin that comes out on the PC and you go get it, you need to make sure. You need to be looking at your Mac every now and then. The iOS will upgrade. Xcode will upgrade. Xamarin will upgrade. It's really important to keep them in sync.
To keep them in sync,
yes.
Yeah. And I'll show you so where you get that. So let's take a look at that next. So let's jump out. So I'm connected to my Mac. I'm here. And it's just an IP address. Mm-hmm. So you can point it to any Mac. It doesn't matter. And you're good. And what I've done on the Mac is I've enabled SSH. So this tunnels under SSH to connect. And you can learn, like, there's, like, where's my Mac? And I think that right here, oh, this will take you to the guide to how to get set up.
Okay.
All right. So if you're like, oh, man, when do new versions come out? How do I set up this thing? If I go into my tools options, we have Xamarin. You can see where all of our different stuff for Android and iOS are set up. And I'm connected here. And then there's other. So other, you can see I'm show me notifications about stable
updates.
Hopefully
this will eventually make it into the regular updates so that I get a black flag and the Visual Studio telling me.
It should,
I imagine
yeah.
that will come event at some point.
It should. Right now it'll give you a little pop-up. But let's see what this right here. See this simulator, remote simulator for Windows?
Mm-hmm.
That's new. How did I get that? That's a great question. I went over to our developer portal, which is where I got started 5 years ago.
Okay.
Great documentation. Type in iOS.
So you have to go out and get that explicitly.
It's a preview today.
Right.
It's a preview. You got to download it separately. It's a separate installer.
I see.
iOS simulator Windows. There it is, the very first one.
Yep.
Click on that. It's a preview. Big preview warning. Totally works. But this works, and this is wrong. This has been updated because we just got that. Just the stable channel works. I'm on stable.
Okay.
You download this tiny little file, 13 megs that I've downloaded here. You install it. It installs in under a second. And then you go and enable it and restart Visual Studio. That's it.
Enable it.
Where? Right here.
Ah, there, okay.
Turn it on and off.
Ah,
if I have this off
okay.
and I hit debug, it's gonna start on my Mac.
Right.
Else I want it here. So let's take a look at this project here.
Awesome.
Oh, a little phone call?
I've been waiting for a while for that to happen. I've told many people that I wanted at some point for my phone to ring during a taping of this. And then people say, oh, call yourself. And I'm like, no, I want it to happen without my prompting it.
Yeah.
And it finally
it
did.
Happened.
Episode like 170 whatever we're on now, it finally happened.
It happens. It happens. It's okay.
I'm not going to take that because I'm busy.
All right, so let's do this. Ready? All right, so I'm clicking here. I'm going to zoom in for you guys here. The project structure looks very similar. All right, we have properties, we have references, we're going to update these references, and we have this main storyboard, which is kind of like our overview of our application. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to zoom out. This is connected to the Mac, so it's going to go out, and the first time it's going to spin up this designer, and this is going to allow us to essentially drag and drop controls over and create our iOS user interface. So it's almost done here. I can tell by the little bar that there it goes. Now we got our toolbox. Now we got this view. Beautiful. And now it's just blank. Just a page.
Yep.
And it's generic. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to add a button. I'm going to go ahead and drag and drop this button over. I'm going to put it right there. And then I'm going to go ahead and get a tag or a label. Label. Slap down a label. Oops. There we go. And beautiful user interface skills. And I'm going to pull out my properties here. And we're going to name this label, label monkey. And then we're going to go say button go. That's it. And we'll rename this to go. And it updates mm-hmm. in the UI. And I can drag and drop, do all this stuff. And of course, like you said, you're going to learn about that user interface. But what I want to do here is add some references. So we're going to go into our references, add the portable that we did. I always like to add the HTTP, whatever I'm using sometimes. Inside of here, we'll add the HTTP. And now we're going to go ahead in and take a look at our NuGet packages again. So remember, we added JSON.NET previously, so we can look at our installed. And we have to install it into iOS. So I like to install all NuGet packages into everything. Mm-hmm. And we do that in case there's platform-specific implementation. So for instance, James Newton King, he could have done a little bit of iOS work to say, I have this dynamic emit code. I'm not going to use it on iOS, so don't do that. And that's what he's done. So now we have our page, and there's some code associated with the code behind, which is this view controller. Essentially, it's like our Android activity. I can now come in here and say monkey view model. I'll say view model here. There we go, using the portable class library, our shared code. Inside of here, I'll say view model equals new monkey view model. Now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say button go, which is what I named it, which is awesome. And now the event is actually called touch up inside. I'm going to do plus equals.
You type touch drag inside.
Thank you. Touch up inside, which is essentially a click event. I'm going to do an async sender args, just like we did before. Okay. Then we're going to say await view model dot get monkey async.
So have you seen, just to digress for 1 second, have you seen a good comparison anywhere of this is what the events are called in the .NET world, this is what they're called? I've seen similar things for like the UI.
Yeah.
But is there something for like the eventing model?
That's a good question. We had a infographic of all the controls that were different for iOS, Android, or Windows. Mm-hmm. We should definitely do that for this one. That'd be good. Okay. Yeah, I like that. So all we got to do is one more thing. In fact, I'm just going to steal the code right here. Just grab this, right? Boom. Grab it here. It's literally the same code, except for I'm going to change this to label monkey.text. We got our monkey.
So Boom. You added a reference to system.http or whatever in here, even though that code is being called from inside the portable class library?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to, but I just do it for
it's
good measure.
For safety, okay.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to. What's cool here is that the HTTP client is just a standard HTTP client, but if you've used, Robert, you've probably used HTTP client a lot in the past, it's really unique that you can pass it like a handler and you can do stuff. What we do is we give you the option on iOS, or most specifically on iOS, to use our implementation of HTTP, iOS's implementation of HTTP, their older one or their newer one, based on if you need TLS certs or things like that. And that's why I actually add it, just to make sure that it's using our version of it. That's good.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's good. But you shouldn't have to, but I've just, for some reason, always have, maybe out of creature of a habit, you know? You shouldn't have to. But you can, because I maybe have just wanted to do an HTTP call in there. But here's what I'm going to do. Set this as the startup project. And just like you would expect, you can go into your configuration manager. Everything's being built here. Up now, this is cool, is that we integrate essentially, use the magnifier again. There we go. We integrate if you want to go to an iPhone or an iPhone simulator. Mm-hmm. And we want to go to an iPhone simulator. our iPhone simulators show up in the dropdown because I'm connected to my Mac, and you can connect different ones. Now, I like to go to probably like a 5S. It's a little bit smaller, so it's a little bit speedier as far as our remote simulator goes. And I'm just going to rebuild this up. It's going to build it all up for me. And just a little bit of code here. And we'll let it build. So what this is doing, it's compiling my C# code locally.
Right.
Then it's actually getting ready to build up kind of a remote package that'll be deployed on the simulator or a device.
Okay.
Now, coming soon, in the future, we have a preview that'll be coming out soon that'll enable you to connect your iPhone or iPad to your PC and debug remotely too. Now, when I come back next time when we have it ready, we announced it that it's coming soon, but right now you have to plug it into your
How much of that is that 100% software related, or is there any hardware related, do you know?
All software related. Yeah, we're going to essentially mimic a USB port and remote the USB port. It's great. We're crazy. We're amazing.
Cool.
So I'm going to hit debug on this iPhone 5S simulator. What this is going to do, it's going to essentially start launching the application in debug, just like we did on our Android. And here it is. Our iPhone simulator has launched. We're able to rotate it, take photos, go into settings here. It's going to launch it. Boom. VS Toolbox.iOS.
This is so cool.
Now, I'm going to use my finger. You can't see it on the video. I'm going to hit go with my finger. Nice. Boom. It's got the baboon. Boom. That quick. That's this is awesome. And I mean, this thing is quick, right? I can go in into my maps. I'm doing this all with my finger here. Mm-hmm. Into my maps, this is gonna load up. I can pinch to zoom, two fingers, right? I can move this around, right? This is a map, this is loading a lot of data back and forth. And now it's not gonna be like a one-to-one, but we've done our optimizations. You have a lot of, like, if you're at home, I mean, it's super crazy snappy too, but even this is pretty good just to mess around, debug your application. You can take photos, you can simulate your location. You can do all that great stuff that's there. Really, really cool.
Very cool.
Boom. Right there. Built it for iOS. Built it for Android. We can take a look here at the VS Toolbox. And we're sharing code. I think that's what's really cool. And now I'm just using my finger, tapping around, getting everything. Boom. On iOS, Android. Just .NET Code. I learned a little bit of UI. But that's really what you need to get set up.
Yeah. And then,
it's
of
not
course,
a lot.
You can build the Windows clients as well, using the exact same shared code.
Exactly.
Yep. So whether you're targeting 8 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I want to point one thing to you guys. So if you're getting a new Surface Book, we'll head back over. I have a blog. It's called Mott's Codes, mottscode.es, very fancy. I wrote this blog post that I'm very, very proud of. It's called Surface Book, or Surface in general, Setup for Xamarin Developers. Yep. This walks you through every single thing that I did. Now, I wanted BitLocker because I work at Microsoft. So, wanted BitLocker on this thing.
Turn it on now, otherwise you just keep getting prompted for it.
Exactly. I went through every single thing that I installed.
Cool. Yep.
Everything else, even from Slack to Backblaze to VS Code, OneDrive, how I configured my emulators, where I got to download them. And people are leaving feedback, comments. What did they do to set up their ideal machine? When you really, it's really simple to get started. Like we went over today, not a lot extra to install. Yep. You're up and running basically however long Visual Studio takes to install. What, an hour, 2 hours now? So you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's really not a lot to get started. Just kind of knowing where to poke.
Right.
Which I think is why I liked building this how we did today. Just one step at a time, drag and drop, add some shared code, and we're good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then for additional information, there's the documentation on the Xamarin site, which is very good. There's Xamarin University.
Yeah.
There's tons of samples out there, many of which are on your GitHub.
My GitHub is just James Montemagno. Yeah. You can find me. MVA, Microsoft Virtual Academy, has a lot of courses. You can find me just on Channel 9. There's a lot of good VS Toolbox episodes that you can go. We'll probably link them in the show notes. There's eight of them.
There are.
In the past, all very relevant today, but all very relevant, all of them. From the very beginning. So I know we went a little bit longer than we wanted to, but I think it was worth stepping through and seeing
this. When don't we on this show?
I know. Classic me and you.
We always say, oh yeah, this will be a half hour episode, and it's...
Never is. 45 to 50 minutes.
It's not even
minutes.
50. That's not too bad.
Not bad.
All right. Cool.
Cool. Well, thank you, Robert, so much. And I hope everyone enjoyed it. Yeah, getting started. And I can't really wait now that there's no barrier of entry. Just go get it.
Right.
You know, tweet at me, James Montemagno is my Twitter. Let me know what you're building. If you have any questions, I'm here for you.
Cool. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Robert.
All right, we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.